right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Shout out to all the small group leaders doing a phenomenal job. And Pastor Steve, our small groups leader, as he's just done a fantastic job this summer. 10 small groups. That's great in the middle of the summer. And then to conclude this semester with this serve day that we're actually going to be joining with hundreds of churches across the country on this same day, just serving, making a difference. That's one of the things we want to do as a church. Our values are, we have four basic things that we focus on, and that is, number one, that we want people to know God. And then second, we want people to find freedom. And third, we want people to discover purpose. And fourth, then now that we know what our purpose is, let's go out and make a difference. And so this is a tangible way that we can do this Saturday. So I want to encourage you, after service today in our connection area, you can register right after the service for these events and be a part of this. It happens this coming Saturday. So be sure and be a part of this. And I'm telling you, it doesn't just bless others. I'm telling you, it makes a difference in your own life. You're really fulfilled when you begin to make a difference in the life of someone else. That's where the joy really happens. So I want to encourage you with that to be a part. And also, you know, not only just what I'm mentioning here that happens right after service as far as the registering, be sure and connect today with our growth track. That happens right after service. Lunch is provided that you just heard about. Be love to have you join in that. Some people think, well, you got to start with the first part, the 101. Today's the 201. You can jump. It's a wheel that turns every month. You can jump on the wheel at any point. So today, you can start today. Even if it's your first Sunday, you can join with us today. We'd love to have you. Well, I'm really excited about this speaker that we have coming today. And I think I'd like to just share a little bit about how sort of a connection that her and I have. And that is that some of you may not realize this, but I actually am a bivocational pastor. What that means is I not only pastor the church, but I also work a full-time job. My full-time job is I'm a mailman. And so don't get scared. I'm a little postal, but I'm harmless, okay? And so either way you look at it, I tell them, and they get tired of those that know me. Get tired of hearing this little phrase, but either way, I'm just delivering the mail. Don't blame the messenger. I'm just delivering the mail, okay? But on my route, one of the businesses on my route, I met Heather, and she is works for a business, again, on my route, and we've kind of connected over the years, and, you know, when you just come in every day, even though it's just a couple seconds each day, you just line all that up, and you kind of build a relationship through that, and so Heather was invited to come to Cross Point at a candlelight service we had this past Christmas, and she came and connected with us. And then we had a serve opportunity where we were going to the Ronald McDonald House and ministering to the mothers at Mother's Day, and she connected with us on that. And somehow in that process, the Lord just began to speak to her and direct her our way. And I am so thrilled and honored that she chose to make Cross Point her family. I believe there's some that are maybe here from the family that has offered her to us. I don't know if that happened that way, but anyway, we're just glad that you're here today. But just so thrilled as I've talked with Heather. A lot of times, the things that I will deliver to her business was personally to her, and many times it was items that had to do with missions. And found out she's very mission-minded. And then she began to share with me books, some books I still got to get back to her, about discipleship and different things. And I just found out that this girl, she's just an all-in kind of person. And it's so, so refreshing. And so as I was praying over what speakers I should have in this series, I had Heather on my mind. And Heather, what you're going to find is she is still young in her faith, because it hasn't been that long since she came to the line of faith, as you're going to find out about. And I think it's just refreshing to see through somebody's eyes, somebody who has just got in this thing, and just what this thing looks like through her eyes. I was praying over who I should have speak, and I had in my heart Heather, and I spoke to my wife, and she said, "What about Heather?" It was the first name she mentioned when we were talking about who we should have speak, and I said, "It's funny you should mention that. I think so too, and I really believe God has something specific to say through her to you today." And so I don't want to take up a lot of her time, but I just want to set her up and just say how much I appreciate her, and I just, and a lot of these speakers are their first time. So you all agree, you all look at me, it's going to be real nice, right? Be nice, really nice, but it's going to be awesome. Come on, everybody, I want you to give it up for Heather as she comes. Heather Singley, yeah. Get them.
Hi, good morning. So, as he said, my name is Heather, and this is my first time speaking. I also would like to say thank you to three of my former church family members that are here today that came to visit. So my story is going to be a little different than what you guys have already heard, mostly because I'm a woman. The past four speakers were all men. So I didn't come to Christ at an early age. In fact, I was pretty turned away at an early age. Today I want to talk to you about discipleship, what it means to be a follower of Christ, and along the way I'll tell you my story. So we're going to focus on Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. These words were the last words that Jesus spoke before he rose to heaven. A person's last words are so important. Jesus' last words are called the Great Commission. My goal for us today is to understand, as a church, what it truly means to be a disciple of Christ and why being mission-minded is so important in the life of a believer. This is what Jesus was talking about in this verse. So discipleship and missions go hand in hand. They're basically two peas in a pod. Before Christ, I was the mission. So I've got some duct tape here. It's a little symbolic of the line of faith. The line of faith. Before you cross the line of faith, you are the mission. So I was born August 6th, 1983, in the middle of the desert in California. I moved around a lot as a child. My dad was in the Air Force, so we moved around about every 3 years. I guess you could call me a military brat. I was raised by Christian parents, but we rarely went to church. This is a picture of me and my uncle in Germany. I was about 3 or so years here. Probably the last time I remember going to church. So as I grew older, I heard about this guy, God, Jesus, but I never really wanted to know who he was. Then when I was in high school, after my dad retired, there was a group that met every Friday before school. These were the Christian students. The only problem was is they didn't all live Christ-like lives. Some were judgmental. Some were just downright mean. Many were excessively drinking alcohol and doing an assortment of other things. And most just really weren't showing what it was to live a Christ-like life and to be a follower of Christ. So as a result, my perspective of God was distorted because of how his followers were misrepresenting him. I said, if this is what it's like to be a follower of Christ, I don't want any part of it. I was completely turned off. Because these relationships just didn't represent Christ. So your perspective of God may have been distorted at some point because of how he was misrepresented. In 2013, I started dating a guy. He's a believer. He was everything that I had ever heard a believer was supposed to be. This represented Christ. So then I started to wonder, is there something out there? Is there a God? So I tried church. I went to one place. I liked it okay. I invited my best friend to come along. She's a believer. She told me she would go as long as I went to church with her. I agreed. When God leads, we can clearly see Jesus. So you can be a convert and not be a disciple. I know it's a little hard to believe. I was reading relevantmagazine.com and found a really great article about what it's like to be a convert versus a disciple. If you want to look it up, it's called We're Called to Make Disciples, Not Converts. Has a culture of convenience and consumerism changed the way we preach the gospel? So I'm just going to go through and list a couple things that they say in the article. Converts are believers who live like the world. Disciples are believers who live like Jesus. Converts are focused on their values, interests, worries, fears, priorities, and lifestyles. Disciples are focused on Jesus. Converts go to church. Disciples are the church. Converts are involved in the mission of Jesus. Disciples are committed to it. Converts cheer from the sidelines. Disciples are in the game. Converts hear the word of God. Disciples live it. Converts follow the rules. Disciples follow Jesus. Converts are all about believing. Disciples are all about being. Converts are comfortable. Disciples make sacrifices. Converts talk. Disciples make more disciples. A disciple is someone who wholeheartedly follows the life and example of Jesus, who makes his mission their mission, his values their values, and his heart their heart. A disciple is someone who desperately seeks to be like Jesus. A disciple is someone who is committed to the cause of Christ, that they would follow him through the gates of hell and back. A disciple is someone who finds their entire identity, purpose, and meaning in Jesus. Jesus is the center of their lives, and they are all in, fully committed. Not only is a disciple willing to die for Jesus, but they are dedicated to living every day of their life for him. So we've come to standing at the line of faith. On October 4th, 2013, I went to church with my best friend Laura at Forest Hill Ballantyne. This day would change my life forever. In the morning, we got ready. Went to church. Things were good. The music was good. Even the sermon was good. I said, I can understand why people like this, but I still wasn't sure if it was for me. Looking back, I see God was setting me up. He was after me. He's after all of us. That night, I got a phone call. My boyfriend had been in a bicycle accident, fell off of his bike, fractured his skull, had bleeding on his brain, and swelling on his brain. The doctors said that they just had to watch him. There was nothing they could do. So I found myself praying. Everybody who knows me from before knows that this was strange. Didn't know what I was doing. So I said, God, if you were real, this is the time to show me. Make him better, and I'll devote the rest of my life to you. Little did I know, you can't bargain with God. 2 days later, August 6th, 2013, don't know if you know that, 30th birthday, got a phone call. The voice on the other line said, I have someone who wants to talk to you. It was him. The bleeding had stopped. The swelling had gone down. Doctors couldn't explain it. I looked up at the sky, said, point taken. I hold up my end of the bargain. I got this. So nearly every Sunday thereafter, I was at church. Fifth row, right side, aisle seat. That was my spot. You couldn't take my spot. Then I joined a life group, which is like our small groups here. Highly recommend it. Love my small group. Then our life group started volunteering at the church. And I got more involved and more involved and more involved. I was all in. I crossed the line of faith. Crossing the line of faith. Again, we're understanding what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters our inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. After you cross the line of faith, it's all about the next person. So about 2 years ago, I'm volunteering at church, and my friend says to me, hey, Heather, we have this singles trip coming up to Haiti. I really think you would enjoy it because of what you do day to day. So I told her I'd pray about it, and that night, all I could think about was Haiti. When I finally went to sleep, I dreamt about Haiti. When I woke up in the morning, I was thinking about Haiti. It was on my mind. So I sent her a text, and the message read as this. When is the Haiti trip in August? How much is it? All I could think about last night and when I woke up this morning, it's for how long? How do I get started? So I emailed the trip leader, we started having meetings, and I started fundraising. On August 29th, 2015, a team of 24 people left Charlotte Douglas International Airport, flew to Atlanta, and then on to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. This is all 24 of us from my team, biggest team that our church had ever sent at that time. We would spend the next week in Haiti surrounded by things we never thought we would see. It changed me. When we were in Transformation Village in Susmatla, I met a lady. She will stick with me forever. Her name is Oziane. She was 82 at this time and lived with her siblings, their children, and her grandchildren. In Haiti, this is a little strange to be of such an age and to be taken care of. They have an orphan crisis and a reverse orphan crisis. So when you are at an age where you can't fend for yourself, they kind of push you aside. So the fact that she was 82 and well taken care of was a shock to everybody. My friends and I were in her village, and we went back to help a girl find her shoe. And unbeknownst to us, we cut through Oziane's yard. When we finally caught up to our group, I felt this tap on my shoulder. It was her. Some boys were using my friend as a jungle gym, and he was using them as weights. As she kept tapping on my shoulder, she pointed and laughed and it was the best laugh you've ever heard in your life. She then pointed to her foot and started speaking in Creole. We called for an interpreter because none of us are fluent. It's a very hard language. We went and sat on her front porch. She explained to us about her life and how she had had a relationship with Christ since she was a very small girl. And she was asking for us to pray for her and for her foot that had been mangled in a car accident many years ago. Just as we were saying our goodbyes, she started to recite Psalm 23 to me. It's my favorite. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are my rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is when I fell in love with Haiti. And I knew then I wanted to be baptized and truly follow Christ. I decided to become a disciple and not just a convert. After crossing the line of faith. So on October 4th, 2015, I was baptized. Pastor Jason Smith at Forest Hill Ballantyne, he's actually moving on to a different Forest Hill campus, baptized me and two of his children, and a bunch of other children at the time. Baptism, it's symbolic of Jesus dying and being risen back to life. It's you going under the water, your old self, coming up a new forgiven self. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." So, as Pastor said, back in December 2015, I was invited to Cross Point for the candlelight service by my mailman. You guys know him as Pastor. I came one other time and really enjoyed it. Everybody made me feel so welcome, like I was part of the family. Shortly after Forest Hill was talking about building a new campus, I prayed about it. I thought God would lead me there. Instead, he led me here. On May 15th, I made Cross Point my home, continuing on my line of faith. So I've talked about this line of faith. What is it? The line of faith is the point of surrender, where you give it all to God. Disciples make disciples. Why is this important? Because there's people yet to cross the line. Go make a difference. We have a great opportunity on the 16th with Serve Day. It doesn't have to be global. It can be local. Just get out there and make a difference. I'd like to invite Pastor back up for the closing prayer.
How about that for a first message? Isn't that great? Come on. Come on. You know, she just kind of reminded me of something when she decided to come that felt like God was leading her here to Cross Point. The way she did that was I walked into her business and she handed me an envelope. And it was addressed to me and my wife. And I said, "Can I open it now?" I mean, I thought it was an anniversary card. I didn't know what it was. She said, "No, it's got your name and her name. That would be like a federal offense if I opened a letter that, you know. So you have to wait till you get home." So I got home and I opened the card that was inside, and she was explaining how that she felt like God had led her to make Crosspoint her new home. Well, Kim and I were just like crying, you know. It was like, it was better than an anniversary card. It was like a homecoming card. And, you know, I think about that and how that made us feel, that she was just coming here to make this her home. And with respect to Forest Hill, we're so glad she's, that God's led her our way. I got to thinking, what would God feel like if we gave him a card today and said, we've made a decision to make heaven our home, right? And that's really what this line of faith is talking about here. You know, life is really not good on our side of that. It's just not. And I would ask you, well, if you're trying to work it out your own way, how's that working? How's that really working for you? But when you come to that point of faith, that line of faith where, as Heather put it, you surrender. It's a point of surrender. It's what that line of faith is. It's saying, God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I'm telling you, everything changes, and so much better on this side of that line of faith. So much better. In fact, that's what God wants for you. He just wants things to be better for you. In fact, it's not just making your life better. Actually, it's more than that. It's going from death to life. It really is. It really is. It's a matter of life and death. The Bible says that we were dead in sins and our trespasses, but now we're made alive in Jesus Christ. And so, I don't know, maybe you're here today and you just feel dead. Maybe you are. Maybe you just haven't crossed that line of faith. You haven't really come to that point of full surrender and saying, God, I just give it to you. I'm trying. It's not working, but I'm ready to lay it down. I want you to come inside. As that verse said, make me brand new on the inside. Today's your day. Today's your day. Today is, I love what she said. That day that she went to church, it changed her life. Can I tell you, one day, today can change your life forever. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So right here, right now, I'm going to give a wonderful opportunity for you to cross that line. That's you today. Maybe you've crossed it before. Maybe you've made a decision in the past and you were walking with Christ, but you know you're not in right relationship with him. It may be that you're coming to him for the first time, or it may be that you just need to rededicate. You just need to recommit. Either way, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And so I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But just between you and God, I just want to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. So if you would, if everybody would just bow your heads and close your eyes. And while no one's looking around, let me just ask this question. If that's you today and you say, that's me, Pastor, as you lead that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? If that's you, I want you very quickly, boldly, just lift up your hand and you can put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Proud of you. Anyone else? God bless you. Yes. Yes, hands are going up. Say, today, Pastor, count me in that prayer. Just slip up a hand. Come on. Slip up a hand and you put it right back down. Say, that's me. Count me in. Not going to have you stand or come to the front. Not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm connecting with. Yes. God bless you. Good job. Proud of you. Proud of you. Best decision you'll ever make in your life. Here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like us to pray this prayer. And just for support, I'd like everybody just to out loud pray this prayer to help those, you know, just to be of support to those that need to pray this prayer. But let me just lead you in this. If you need to pray this prayer, whether you raise your hand or didn't, you just mean it from your heart. It's not a magical prayer. It's got to be your prayer from the heart. I'm just helping you with some of the words, okay? Come on, let's just pray this. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, today I'm ready to cross the line of faith. I put my faith in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You paid my debt so I wouldn't have to. You paid my debt of all my past, all my failures, all my mistakes, all of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for paying it all. I accept your payment. I accept the free gift of life. Right now, today, I give you my life. Come on, say that again. I love that. Say, I give you my life. I invite you to come in. Make me a new person on the inside. And with all of my heart, I will fully follow you. Thank you, Lord, for every person who just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, that now you have come in on the inside. We believe according to your word, by faith, as we call out to you, you answer, and God, you rescue us, and you come inside and make us brand new. Lord, I thank you, and I rejoice along with all of heaven that rejoices over them. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you just fill them with your spirit, that you would give them the power to live it out, that you give them the power to walk it out, Lord, and live this thing out and become not just a convert, but a true disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, now let your joy come. Let your spirit fill their heart and life. God, I pray for this church as a whole, Lord. God, help us today. We take this challenge, this wonderful challenge, to truly become disciples of Jesus. Lord God, that we would make a difference where you planted us. It may be on the job. It may be even in our home, in our community. Lord, God calls us to make a difference, Lord Jesus, because as long as heaven is real and hell is real, God, what we're doing is important. God, let us be a part of what you're doing and making a difference in this world, God, and sharing the hope that's found in Jesus Christ alone. Only in Jesus is there true, everlasting hope. And I thank you for the hope that we have in you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give praise to God for many lives here today that's changed forever. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Come on, you can do better than that. God, we worship you. We thank you. Give you the glory and the praise. Amen.